Okay.
Which inmate is this?
This is Thomas Hurley.
Good afternoon, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you just state your name, the AEC number for us for the record, please?
Yes, sir. It's Thomas Patrick Kogan, Jr., 288-317.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today, sir. To my far right is the Honorable Luis Quinones, sir. To my immediate left is the Honorable David Neal, sir. And my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair, sir. Also, we have with us representing the Department of Corrections as well as the parole office is Mr. Osborne. You can see Mr. Osborne on your screen now, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, sir, it also notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or hire a licensed attorney to speak on your behalf, sir. Did you hire her at your own expense? Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself?
Representing myself, sir.
Okay, sir. At this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Osborne in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay, so your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, sir, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out with phase one, Mr. Hogan. You have one allegation listed on your warrant, sir. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, Mr. Hogan, I need you to state whether that allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the allegation on your warrant states you in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 3, as demonstrated by the act of changing your place of residence at Breed Rate, 2719 West Maryland Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona, on or about August 9, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he is absconding from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
That's false, sir. That halfway house changed my halfway house, the owner of the halfway house did. I was at work.
Okay.
I worked at a logging company in LBJ, Lower Buckeye.
Okay, sir, let me...
I have a paycheck.
Okay, if you state that's false, sir, I'm going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, and get some additional information from him, and then I'm going to come back to you, okay?
That place was called an intake.
All right, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On August 10th of 2017, CCO Apollo received a discharge letter dated August 10th of 17 from Ryan Sturgeon, Facilities Director of Beaverade Recovery House. The discharge letter stated the offender was discharged from the approved residence at Beaverade, 2719 West Maryland Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85017, effective August 10th of 2017, for leaving the property on August 9th of 2017, and failing to return on same date. The offender has not reported to his assigned parole officer since he left from the Beaverade. The offender's current whereabouts are unknown, unless he is an absconder from supervision. Follow-up, on August 15th of 2017, CCO Apollo called the emergency contact, Jamie Fitch, mother of the offender's baby, and not wife as listed, according to herself. She reported that the offender sent her a message via Facebook messaging on the day the offender was released from prison. She, however, did not know the offender's whereabouts. CCO Apollo asked her to direct the offender to report to the WRPO in case of contact. On August 16th of 2017, CCO Apollo contacted Ryan Sturgeon and reported that the offender did not return at the facility. On August 16th of 2017, CCO Apollo contacted the MCSO that reported the offender was not in custody. To date, the offender has not contacted CCO Apollo regarding his whereabouts, nor has he reported to the Western Regional Parole Office.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Osborne. So, Mr. Hogan, what's not true about that?
First of all, when I was at work and I came home to the 27th in Maryland, they already packed my stuff up and moved it over to 27th and Elm Street. Right there at Elm Street, it says right here in my warrant that I have right in front of me that it said I changed my address. I didn't change it. The halfway house did. The owner of the place I was working for. And then I worked for the logging company during the nights. I was at work the whole time. Both days I was at work. I didn't escape until after I found out that I was going to get arrested. And all I wanted to do was be with my kids, that's it.
Okay, so...
I don't belong in prison.
Okay, sir.
Look at my charges.
Okay, sir, so they say that you left on the morning of... let me get back into this letter. Say that you left the property on the morning of August 9th and failed to return to the property the night of August 9th. Is that true, sir?
Yeah, I worked nights. I worked from 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I worked for the halfway house. I was doing the tile work at the old people's home. And I worked from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 2 o'clock in the morning. I worked at the logging company right there in Lower Buckeye.
Okay.
Right by the LBJ jail.
Okay, so it says you left in the morning, sir, and then at night on August 9th, you didn't return. When did you return back to the property?
I didn't return because one of the guys that lived there said that I was violated for coming home late when they already knew what job I had. They knew that I worked nights at 27th and Maryland knew that I worked nights.
So you didn't come back. So you didn't come back because someone told you you were going to be violated, so you didn't go back.
Yeah, incorrect.
All right.
So I went to my mom and dad's house.
All right, sir. The board have any? All right, Mr. Hogan, I am going to, based on the information that we received in the warrant number 2017W2874, and based on the information in that warrant, along with the information coming from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, I am going to move to find that Mr. Hogan was illegal and that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses, about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Hogan, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing, sir. During phase two, the board is going to make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with getting some additional information from Mr. Osborne. Then we're going to come back to you, sir, with any information that you'd like to present before the board. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mr. Hogan was released from DOC custody on July 28th of 2017. He was arrested on August 12th of 2017 by the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Office in California on his absconding warrant status, and was returned back to our custody on October 27th of 2017 with 64 abscond days with a community supervision end date of March 31st of 2018. Current conviction 2015, theft of credit cards to obtain fraud, 2 years, 3 months. Prior convictions 2014, forgery, 2 years. 2014, criminal trespass, first degree, 1 year. And also for 2015, hinder prosecution, first degree, 1 year. He's had 3 attorneys with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3-4, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 1. There is no STG or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2014, TIA absconder, 30 days, arrested by the Fugitive Apprehension Unit and returned to custody. In 2015, TIA completion, 30 days. Has a moderate disciplinary history, possession of manufacturing intoxicating substances noted. Other arrests, 2004, domestic violence, Florida, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2009, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. And 2013, burglary, second degree, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. And he has a community risk score of G4, V5.
Sir, that's my dad. He's reading those charges out for domestic violence and probation. I've never been on probation my whole life except for a globe. Those are my dad's charges right there, Thomas Sr.
Okay, sir, we'll follow up on that. I got a couple questions. Did you get that information on what he said?
Yes, sir. Per our aims, those are charges that he had acquired. But it has been known in the past where father and son have the same names and things do get crossed if he's ever done DOC time.
Okay, all right. Okay, sir, so it says that you were, originally when you were released, you were approved to stay at Vive 2501 West Elm Street. Then on August 8th, you were transferred to the Vive 2719 West Maryland. And that's where you were currently approved to stay at, sir. So they did transfer you, but the dates that they transferred you are different and didn't impact the date that you left and didn't return, sir.
What they wrote on my thing right here said that I changed my address from 27th and Maryland to 27th and Elm Street, and that's what I was violated for. Right here, the paper I have right here. That I was violated for changing my residency. I never changed my residency. And the only reason why I went to California because I wanted to see my dad before he died.
Okay, I'm going to go over this with you, so let me just make sure that, because what you're saying is not factual. It says that you changed your residence from 2719 West Maryland Avenue on about August 9th without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer, is what it says. And according to your residence, the 2719 was the last address that you were actually staying at. You did stay at 2501 West Elm Street, and they transferred you to the 2719. West Maryland, but you left one morning.
No. When I got out of prison, I went to 27th and 19th West Maryland. That's the house, halfway house I got out to from prison. They switched my halfway houses from 27th and Maryland to 27th and Elm Street.
So maybe this just is it switched around. Osborne, can you kind of?
I have all the paperwork right here from you. I had it sent to me to make sure I had everything to talk to you guys.
So I have the attached VBA discharge notice, if I may read that.
Okay.
So this letter is informing you that Thomas Hogan, AC number 288317, has been discharged on today's date from our self-pay program for the following reasons. Number one, off-site, client left property the morning of 8-9-17 and failed to return to the property the night of 8-9-17 and has been absent without submission for a period of longer than 24 hours. At time of discharge, client had accrued program fees, a balance of 107 in arrears. So, please contact me, Ryan Sturgeon, Facilities Director, Beaver Recovery Housing, 2501 West Elm Street, which may be where his office is. But,
no, that's where you live, Elm Street.
Excuse me, sir, I'm still speaking, thank you. He is the director. I think the director would know whether he switched houses and reported to another house. I just wanted to know that.
So you were staying at one of the houses at Beaver, is that right, sir?
I was staying and working out of Maryland, but they moved me at 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, when I came home from work at the logging company. And they drove me over to Elm Street.
Okay.
Elm Street is the other halfway house. They have two halfway houses.
Okay.
They have one right there and one in Elm Street.
Okay. So
I moved it from Maryland.
Okay, so you went to work in the morning of, I believe it was August 9th, and you didn't return back. And you said that the reason you didn't return back, sir, is because someone told you that they had violated you, and so you didn't return back, and then you went to California because you wanted to see your kids. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That is correct.
All right.
That's the only reason why I scouted, sir.
All right.
Should I do a fight since they changed my address? I have the paper right here saying that I got violated for changing my address,
sir,
from Maryland to Elm Street.
So I do.
And I was scared.
I understand, sir. I got the letter that they violated you on, and it has the Elm Street address on there, too. It also says on here that you say that you were working. So were you working for Vibre? Who were you working for, sir?
I worked for Vibre for, I think his name was, the other dude was named Michael. I'm not sure what his name was, but at the other Vibre, Maryland, I was working for them. I would do all their maintenance for pay and rent. That's why I would only $107 and not $207.
All right.
They took money off.
Okay.
And then I worked for a logging company out in LBJ.
Okay. So it also shows that you were referred to Tassel random drug testing, but there was no history established, meaning that they didn't, you didn't have to go test before you absconded. Is that right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir, the halfway house jail testimony and the parole office did too, but they, I never got a chance to go for the parole office.
Okay.
But I did go for the halfway house.
Okay, so sir, why did you let someone tell you that your warrant was issued for your arrest without verifying it or contacting your PO?
Because I was stupid, sir. I'm telling you the truth on that. I should never listen to somebody else, but they said that the cops already came there looking for me, and I just got off of work, so I didn't know what to do. I wanted to see my little girls and my dad. That's it.
Okay.
That's the truth.
Okay, sir, so what happened in San Bernardino where you had contact with the police when you got arrested?
I was with my mom and my two daughters and my brother, and we were camping right there. We went camping and took my daughters camping, and then I was coming back to California, but they pulled us over right there, and I told them I had a warrant, because I already knew what they were there for was me. And I said, I have a warrant, and they came out, and they handcuffed me and put me in the car, and that was it. I didn't put up a fight, and I didn't run.
Did you? And then, Mr. Osborne, maybe I may have wrote these dates down, but I thought he got arrested on August 12th and he didn't get turned over to you guys till October 24th. Is that what you said?
October 12th.
I got
October 12th. Okay, all right.
Back to our cousin on October 27th from California.
Is there a reason why there was that 12-day period?
Well, they're giving transfers from California back to Arizona, sir.
Okay.
That's
right. So did you get permission from your PO to go to California, sir?
No, sir.
Okay, so you knew that you were going to be in trouble once you didn't contact the PO and you went to California, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, and it looks like here, sir, in 2014, you absconded for 30 days, but in 2015, you did a TIS completion for 30 days, so you were fully aware that you have to obey and go by what your parole officer tells you to do, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Seeing the board has no additional questions for you, sir, do you have anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself before we go into discussion?
No, sir. I just hope that I'm hoping I get put back before to show you that I can finish it and be with my little girls and go back to work. That's all.
Okay. Sir, the board's going into discussion at this time. While the board's in discussion, sir, I'm going to ask you to remain silent, sir. Stay on the phone. However, stay on the phone while the board's in discussion. We'll make a determination whether we revoke or reinstate you under community supervision, and we'll get back to you shortly, sir. Board's now
yes, sir.
Into discussion. After talking with Mr. Hogan and going over the information with the parole officer and the information that we actually have in the warrant, Mr. Hogan did abscond 64 days, where he went over to California, was stopped by the police on the way back, in which Mr. Hogan says he turned himself in at that time, told the officer that he was an absconder, he was arrested, and subsequently brought back here to Phoenix. He has a little over 3 months when he will be released, and that will be in March 31st of 2018, he will be released. I think that Mr. Hogan has the ability to complete his supervision. However, I think that in this situation, Mr. Hogan take this time that he has left, since he wants to spend some time with his daughter and has family over in San Bernardino, California, and he wants to get himself together. It appears that he was very capable and was working, and working at the time prior to him being arrested. However, he listened to some information from someone who told him that he had a warrant out for his arrest, so he decided to abscond. But I think if Mr. Hogan puts together a plan and really gets serious, if he wants to spend some time with his daughter, go over to California, that when he gets released in March, he won't have any supervision left. He won't have to report to his parole office. And he'll be free to go over there. And if he puts together a plan, he'll be free to go over there and put together something and hopefully get a job, spend some time with his daughter and the rest of his family, and not have any more negative contact with law enforcement from that point forward. That is my opinion at this time. However, I'm really to listen to the rest of the court.
I agree, Mr. Johnson. That's correct.
Okay, therefore, I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Hogan, finding that Mr. Lincoln violated the term of conditionary supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways of company, as he did abscond for 64 days, and we had no idea of exactly what he was doing during that period of time.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Hogan, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. You will be released on March 31st of 2018, sir. During that period of time, sir, while you're still incarcerated, I hope you will work with your CO3 while you're there, sir. Put together a plan, sir, so that when you get out, you won't be on any community supervision, you won't be on any parole. You'll be able to go to California, spend some time with your daughter, get a job, sir, be a productive citizen, and hopefully we won't see you come back before this board again, sir. I want to thank you for taking the opportunity and the time for participating in your hearing today, Mr. Hogan. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time.
All right.
So don't hang up the phone, just set it down, please.
Okay.